Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke unto them and he said, all power, which is the word authority, in the Greek, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. Go ye therefore and teach, actually. Teach all nations. Verse 20, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That's verse 19. And of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the end of the world. Amen. And so verse 18 again, I told you that when you see any synoptic writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or by extension John, who is not a synoptic writer, but is also a writer of the accounts of the gospel. By now you should understand what I said. Rabbi? John is not a synoptic writer in the sense that synoptic means we are seeing from the same angle. And I taught you when we were looking at the book of John, I remember teaching you how that John's view was quite different, owing to the timeline where he wrote his own 95 AD thereabout. The other three synoptics have been written already. That makes sense? And so, the way John wrote it is as though he was writing what they missed out. And so you observe that even the miracles John documented were quite different from what the three documented. And so, when you look at the synoptics and the book of John, I told you on, was it Thursday or last Sunday, that they wrote it in shorthand. Right? Shorthand. And so, unlike, see, for example, you look at what I taught on Thursday, and then someone comes to you and say, what did Pastor teach? And then you go and say, rather than bring out your notes and say, Matthew 28, and then you quote the 1 Corinthians 12, and you quote John 3, and you quote, you just say, Pastor said, when the Holy Ghost takes over, the natural faculties are suspended, and the faculties of a man yield to the Spirit of God. Imagine writing that one as a verse, and someone now comes and says, that was all I said. But you see, you put it as, this is the totality of what was said. Does that make sense? How do you get what I just said now? So you put it as the totality, this is what was said in total. That when the Holy Ghost takes over, this and this will happen. But in the real sense of it, I said more in details. So when you read the four Gospels, it's like that. So, you come and see, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. But that was not what he said, per se. That was the summary. So they wrote it in shorthand. And I told you that if you are going to have a Bible that had everything that Jesus taught, you are going to be bringing and I must go to church. If you go to church like this and you need a car. That means Christians who have actually need a car. Because you're going to be putting like two bags in your boots. And then you drive to church. Does that make sense? So, again, it's always in a shorthand format. So you say, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And then we said, that is upon the resurrection. When he rose from the dead, he had all authority. And that was Matthew's words. In Mark's words, in Mark 16, 14, Mark would say, he upbraided them for their unbelief. In Luke's words, he taught them the prophets and the things concerning the kingdom of God. That would be Luke 24, 44 to 46, Acts 1 to 3. If you are still snoozing and you think there's cold, I'm sorry. I'm already on the normal track. That's Luke 24, 44 to 46 and Acts 1 to 3. So again, excuse me, it's in a shorthand. So, Matthew comes up and says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. That is it. That is it. That is what he summarized Jesus' 40 days teaching us. Because scriptures helps us understand that Jesus taught them for 40 days when he rose from the dead. Acts 1:3. Taught them 40 days. So, all authority is given to me in heaven and in the earth. And we said, heaven as used in the four gospels, or the four accounts of the gospel, is used for the unseen. For the unseen. Epouranos in the Greek. For the unseen. It's always in contrast to what is material. It's always in contrast to what is earthly. So you see Jesus say, so shall your heavenly Father do to you. Because you are the biological father, you have an earthly father, so you say, heavenly Father, the one you don't see. So, heaven is used for that realm that is not physical. The realm that is not physical. So, again Jesus says, whether heaven, whether earth, all authority is given to him in heaven and in the earth. Then he says, verse 19, Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore, that word is the word, in one word, so. S-O. So go. That is, on this account of all authority and all power given to me in heaven and earth, on these grounds, you go and preach the gospel to every nation. I told you that means the gospel for everyone is the same. If you are going to preach to someone in India, it must be the same gospel you preach to someone in the United States. You might be tempted to change the gospel when you get to Nigeria. Don't. Then your gospel starts dealing with exchange rates. Don't change the gospel. Hallelujah. Like a pastor that told his members not to wear trousers. He told his members not to wear trousers. So they now travel. I think I've told this story before. They now traveled outside the country with his entourage and everybody from the headquarters to their branch in the UK. The ushers are now welcome them. They were now on trousers in their branch in the UK. The assistant pastor said, ah, Gio, sir, have you not seen us in our branch? In other words, because of the weather. That's the climatic gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel does not relate with your weather condition. The gospel is not dependent on your economic power or prowess. The gospel is the same. You go and teach all nations. Say all nations. Say all nations. So you teach all nations. Everyone the same thing. What are you going to teach them? That Jesus said all authority is given to him in heaven and the earth. So heaven and the earth becomes our message. And don't forget, that was the message from Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we've seen that. Don't get me wrong. Was that a physical creation where God made the firmament and God made the earth crust? Was that it? I'm throwing you under the bus. I want to expose you. Was that a physical creation? Okay, so again, when you say in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, which is in Genesis, of course Moses is writing two accounts. I've always told you that he's writing both the spiritual account and the physical account. Already they know God created the heaven and the earth, so he's now telling them something else. And what will give you the key to that is the beginning. Actually, in the beginning, in the Reshit. Okay, in the Reshit or Bar Reshit, Abi. In the Reshit, which we have seen that it's more than time. What teaching is that? Spiritual growth. What, when, Abi? Fine. So we're going to listen to it. Spiritual growth. What, when, how, where, where. Alright. So we said in the Reshit, which we looked at that word and we saw that the predominance used by Moses was not for timelines, but more for what? The firstborn. Right? The first and the best. The first of the kind. So, he says, in the firstborn, or in the first creation, there is the heaven and the earth. So, of course, that's where grammar comes in Bible interpretation. And I've always told you that there's no way you can study the Bible without grammar. Why would I study with grammar? Because the audience has changed. The audience has changed. I was watching DSTV with Browell. What day was that? My place. What day was that? They were watching Stand Up Africa, and a Zimbabwean comedian was cracking the joke, and I wasn't really feeling it. People were laughing. That's what I'm saying. But when a Nigerian stepped up You know, not because I'm tribalist or we can't call it our tribe right now. Nationalist. Not because I'm being biased, but because I could relate to what he was saying. And I told you immediately, I said, why I would not be able to relate with that Zimbabwean one, because the audience has changed. He was talking to people in South Africa. He was in South Africa. So, I'm not in South Africa. I don't know about their political stance. I don't know about the economic things happening. I don't even know. The only place I know in South Africa is probably Joburg and Pretoria, Cape Town, Sefene. After that, I wash my hand like Pilate. I don't know any other thing. Hallelujah. So, you can't crack a joke to me based on that. But when the Nigerian came and he said that the only place he sees this kind of light is when he's facing a police checkpoint. I said, fine, I can relate to this one. You get what I'm saying? So, when the audience changes, the interpretation changes. Not the meaning, the interpretation. Not the meaning. The meaning is the same. But the interpretation, the way it is sucked out, as it were. So Moses will come writing to people in Hebrew, in an Hebrew song, and he says, in the Reshit, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. But the way they use beginning is not the way we use beginning in English. I told you, English is a very recent language. The way they use the beginning is not the way we say beginning, and it means, oh, you are beginning the service. Jacob will call Reuben my beginning. And you wonder, but you have been born since. But he says, Reuben is my beginning. The peak of my strength. Is it making sense? So, Jesus will call himself the beginning and the end. But language will help you interpret. So, in Genesis, he says, in the beginning, which was more than a timeline, which was more than a space of time, it was talking about a person. In Christ is the beginning of God's promise, is the fulfillment of the same, is the firstborn of all creation. In that man, in that firstborn, God made heaven and the earth. God made heaven and the earth. So, heaven and earth in the same place will be in Christ. Before Jesus, men sought heaven. They wanted heaven. They were on the earth, away from God, but they wanted God's intervention. They wanted God to intervene. But Jesus comes and brings heaven to man. Right? Have you seen that song now? You didn't want heaven without... Even I'm very uncomfortable with that place. Jesus, you brought heaven down. Fine, exactly, that's what he did. So, in that man is heaven and earth. In that man is heaven and earth. So, that's Genesis. Then he comes in Matthew, and Matthew helps us to see that all authority is now given to him in heaven and in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All authority is now given. What are you passing around? All authority is now given in heaven and in the earth. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So, go back to verse 19, Matthew 28. You there now? Matthew 28, 19. Are you there now? So, he now says, you go and teach all nations, heaven and earth. Now, if I say teach all nations, heaven and earth, what would be the first thing that comes to you? God's intervention among men. Abi? Fine. So, God, heaven and earth is God's intervention among men. Salvation is heaven and earth. Forgiveness of sin is heaven and earth. That makes sense? So, go and teach heaven and earth. So, the message of the church is defined. We have a specific message. I am called to teach relationship. The way people say, and you think some people are called to teach faith, some people are called to teach prosperity, some people are called to teach the gifts of the Spirit, some people are called to raise ministers. So what's your own call? To teach relationship. Like, Jesus went to the cross, He died for sins, He rose again. And the only thing He told you is to be there. You see, when you get a partner, and the funny thing is that the partner now involve their wives. That will now become an expert. I was talking to Pastor, asking Pastor, before we met, what concerns us? In church. It's funny. In church. So before we met, I don't used to like fair boys. But you know, Pastor was just, it was fair. Your carnality is smelling. Yeah, so I just want to advise single ladies out there. Don't be desperate. Don't wash plates for him. They need to tell you that one. That you should not wash plates. You can't be washing plates now. But they will indeed. And that's what will come on Sunday morning, and you pick your daughter, you two are writing all day. Or the party all day, all the guards. You're writing. Number one, don't wash plates for him. Number two, define the relationship. Mm-hmm. Ask him, where are we going? What next? Who are we now? There are 7 W's you should ask. Where are we going? Who are we? What are we doing? Are you that clueless? You don't know what you are doing in a relationship. Hallelujah. And some people say, that's what I've been called to teach. That a pastor should not be a specialist. You are called to teach the whole counsel of God. You can't be a specialist. Now, I think that one is the worst. There's some come. The only thing they know how to teach in this life is how you can get money. Today, I want to make you realize that Jesus is the center of life. And that the Bible is an all-encompassing book. I used to be poor, let me tell you. So you are rich now? In your eyes. I used to be poor, but one day I took God's word. I took God's word, and God's word revolutionized my revolution plus. And I said, I will preach this message. That's not what Jesus sent you. You go and teach heaven and earth. You teach God's intervention among men. That's what you teach. You are not a specialist in healing, as much as healing is part of God's plan for man. You are not a specialist in answered prayers. Kinikon, aka Miracle Center. The church is not a miracle center. We have miracles, hallelujah. We will have miracles every day. But the church is not aka Miracle Center. We have just one job. Teach heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So, verse 20. Matthew 20. And Jesus said, teaching them to observe. Which we look at that word. Is the word terio in the Greek. T-E-R-E-O. Terio. T-E-R-E-O. And we saw that word means to what? Eh? To watch and do. So, but maybe you thought observe would mean I'm looking at it. I'm focused on it. Fine, you're right. But when you say observe, it also means to do. If I say I'm observing the law, or like James said in James 2:10. Let's look at James 1 first. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What is it? To visit the fatherless and the widows in the affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That word keep is the word terio. Same word as observe. To keep himself. So when I say I keep myself away, is it that I'm watching or I'm doing something? Eh? Something is being done. If I say, look at James 2:10 now. James 2:10. Can we read James 2:10 together, everybody? Everybody wants to go. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, is what? So if I say, I keep the whole law, is it that I put it before me and I'm looking at it? Or I am doing the law? I'm doing it. So, I keep the law. That word terio, observe. So when you go back to Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. So please, what did he command them again? Matthew summarizes as what? Eh? All authority is given in. That's what Matthew summarizes. So when he says all things I've commanded you, that's heaven and earth. So you teach them to observe it. To focus on it and to what? And to. So I can know heaven and I can do heaven. It's a wrong doctrine that makes you think that a man has to leave the earth before experiencing heaven. There's nowhere it is taught in the Bible that it's when people die that they go to heaven. I don't know if you are the United English House Church, that should not be a new thing. In the average mind without knowledge, you think a man has to die before he now sees heaven. No. John said, right there at that river, I see the heaven open. And you are seeing John baptizing people. And he said, I see the heaven open. How did he? Did he die and resurrect? Stephen in Acts 7 said, I see heaven. And I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So, you don't have to leave the body. Unlike some opinions. Well, a man has to leave the body, he has to die. Jesus said, when a man is born again, he sees the kingdom of God. John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what means, when a man is born again, he sees the kingdom of God. So we need to look at, what is the kingdom of God? Heaven and earth, right? Right? Salvation, forgiveness of sin. God's intervention among men is the kingdom of God. Then you observe that. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. So we said, heaven and earth is the focus of the church. When we come together in our meetings, heaven and earth ought to be our focus. So we can have the expressions of heaven in the earth. We can have the activities of heaven in the earth. We can see, we can know, we can do heaven in the earth. You believe that? You believe that? So we are looking at when the Holy Ghost takes over. When the Holy Ghost takes over. And I said, when you look at the activities of the Spirit, say very well. If you look at the activities of the Spirit, let's look at the first time the word Spirit was mentioned, or the word the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God. And we can now trace and know what happens when the Holy Ghost takes over. In Genesis 1, I'm probably not teaching my notes today. So this will be bonus track. In Genesis 1, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Bam, bam. Genesis 1. In verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. We are reading now. And void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God. Hey, stop. So, the first time we see the Spirit of God, we see it move. And as I mentioned, you know, the move of the Spirit. He says, the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And what did he do? He said. He said. So the first activity of the Spirit we are going to see is that he said something. He shows you that wherever you see the Holy Ghost, there's always an activity. You can't have the Spirit of God and you are passive, and you are apathetic, and you are lethargic. You can't have that with the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God, we'll see an activity. The Spirit moved. God said. The Spirit moved. God said. So that means one of the things that if we don't know anything that the Spirit of God can do, we know that it can make you say. How about that? God said. That's the first activity of the Spirit of God we see. Move over the face of the waters and said. And said. I can say. I can say by the Spirit of God. God said, let there be light. You know, some folks say, when you have the Holy Ghost, you keep quiet. You are calm. You know, there's just this mentality. You know, when you are in a believer's meeting, you are in a church, and everybody say, glory! You know, you feel mature. Your maturity is smelly. Yeah, emoji. You know, there's emoji stand. As prophet, he has it. Yeah. Say, bro, rejoice. Go ahead. Glory. And that's all the reason. Oh. I'm receiving from God. You are wrong. You are not. You are receiving from the devil. The Spirit of God inspires activities. I'm not saying you jump around when you get the church. We are teaching God's word like this. You are. Malieja dini. That is, I'll send you out. But the Spirit of God inspires activities. Whether it be the preaching of the gospel, whether it be prayer, the Spirit of God inspires activities. Whether I be fasting, whether I be studying God's word, the Spirit of God inspires activities. Say with me, the Spirit inspires activities. Exactly. So, the Spirit of God is not passive. And that's why when you find in the scriptures that, and the Spirit of God was upon him, you will see that the person will now do something or say something. Right? Numbers 11, we were there. Numbers 11. Learn from this one. Numbers after Leviticus. Now we also have some ample time to fellowship together with the Spirit this month. When it rains, just small bout of joy, cold is gone. Have you? Small joy like this, cold is gone. Are you in Numbers 11 now? In verse 25, I hope I'm right. Yeah. The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him, and took the Spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, what happened? Can you see? So whenever you see the Spirit upon a man, you are not going to see passivity. You are not going to see maturity. What you are going to see is an activity of heaven. He prophesied. Or they prophesied. And did not cease. They prophesied and did not cease. In 1 Samuel 19. Before 1 Samuel 19, go to 1 Samuel 10. In verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon Saul's head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, thou shalt find two men
by Rachel's sepulchre, in the border of Benjamin at Zelza. And they will say unto you, the asses which thou wentest have found, and lo, the father hath left the care of the asses, and sorrows for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Verse 3. Then you will go forward from the place, and you come to the plain of Tabor. And there you shall meet there three men, going up to God at to Bethel. One carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another a bottle of wine. And they will salute you and give you two loaves of bread, and you will receive it from their hands. Now this time we're taken to Saul. Verse 5. And when you come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines? It shall come to pass that when you come to the city, you will meet a what? A company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and the harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Can we verse 6 together? And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you prophesy with them, and you be turned to. So the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you will be smiling. The Spirit of God will come upon you, and you will be looking. Eh? The Spirit of God will come upon you, and what? You will. So when the Holy Ghost takes over, one of the primary things we see is prophecy. Prophecy. In Genesis, God said, what is prophecy? Prophecy is an inspired word or inspired utterance. Inspired not because you know the economic circumstances. Inspired not because you have an idea of the person's family. Inspired by the Spirit of God. Prophecy. So, we've seen that in Genesis. In Numbers, we saw that when Moses, when Lord took the Spirit upon Moses and put him upon the 70, they what? They prophesied. And did not cease. In 1 Samuel 10 now, Saul, 1 Samuel 19. You know this one. Saul wanted to kill David. David is now champion. Everybody now like David. He's on Insta blog. He's everywhere. Everybody's ailing David. Saul has now become. There's a lesson from there. You don't live by men's applause. It gets you nowhere. Whether in ministry or outside ministry. When we're starting out, the first thing I told myself is whatever people say, the same people that ail you can talk against you tomorrow. So if you are a wise minister of the gospel, you won't live by men's applause. It just shows you are smart. Is that it? Oh! Best pastor! It's fine. We should honor people that God used for us. I'm not saying when you say by best pastor, you are now planning to dishonor me tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. Oh! See Paul. I'm seeing Paul. Oh, that look by glass. Then, next time, the person, I told you, there was a sister like that. We were in the ministry together. And then she said, you know about them. And then she said, Peter, wherever you are going to in the world, I will follow you. There's nothing that can happen. This is what I've been looking for all my life. 6 months after, she saw me an ingrateful. Offense is setting. The devil has built Lego house.